Route 616, your home for all things Marvel main continuity. Hello, everybody. This is episode 54 of Route 616. That's pretty crazy. We're all here again.
Yeah.
Fuck. Fuck.
Not as crazy as, Real Madrid beating Man U. I won't spoil it by telling you that, like, oh, man. Yeah, 1-0 Real Madrid. And Ryan's not even wearing his shirt.
No, I was going to. But...
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I know, but it bodes ill for your year. Well, I'm glad you said it, because guess what? You may need another season before you're ready for the Champions League. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I just... You don't have a goaltender either.
And now you were supporting the Wolves.
What, football? I just say it. You know, I mean, come on.
Dan's just feeling a little silly goofy right now.
No. No, let's take, you know, David De Gea, one of the best goaltenders, you know, in football, and get rid of him. Yeah, but,
even I know that's a dumb move.
It was stupid. I have no idea what they were thinking. Right. Yeah, it was pretty harsh, but, I mean...
Adjacent to wrestling
fans. It
just
made no sense. Which is possible. Certainly possible, but... Yeah, let's keep Harry Maguire and get rid of De Gea. I know. That was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. Yeah, but it's like, seriously. Okay, yeah, but he's got one emotion.
At least you can rely on knowing how he's feeling.
Yeah, you know how he's going to react to everything. Yeah, that is true. But yeah, no, literally no one would take Harry Maguire. Like, literally no one made an offer. Yep, and
so
nobody wants him.
Between Bill's teams failing everywhere and Secret Invasion absolutely bombing in terms of ratings, it's been a pretty solid week.
Oh my God.
How about that? I didn't realize it was doing so bad.
I wanted to like it. I really did. Right. You know, I did. Because I liked the story. You know, the original story was great. I thought this is going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some really cool spy stuff going on and everything. Oh, my God. They just completely missed the mark. Like, it's like they read it but didn't understand it.
And they gave a moment of hope with Raphael and a dude. Have you seen spoilers from the show, Bill? Are you all right if I spoil something? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So, they even, like, fucked it up after having the cool... what should have been a cool and good plot point of Rhodey being revealed to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
And they still fucked it up.
Yeah, they just... Yeah, well, I mentioned it to you, like months ago. Yeah, but Secret Wars is going to be the movie. Secret Invasion is the series.
There was rumors a long time ago that they were going to do Invasion as a movie, but it got switched. Well, it wasn't confirmed. It wasn't confirmed at the time. I saw somebody say that they should have done it so Fury was like the bad guy of Secret of it, the show should have been titled Nick Fury and he's like actually the bad guy, like manipulating Skrulls into doing whatever after seeing how he's just kind of never cogging the machine type deal and then made the Secret Invasion movie after that. And I was like, that was a pretty good idea. That could have worked.
Well, yeah. You're right.
No direction.
Well, the thing was, I thought wrongly that they were going to use this series as sort of the cornerstone for the next phase. You know, I really thought, okay, here's their chance to set up Secret Wars, you know, all you know, the Marvels, all this stuff that's coming. Here's their chance to lay a really good, strong foundation for it.
Well, it's supposed to partly lead into the Marvels, supposedly, I think.
But they just didn't. Like, they just... Saying they dropped the ball is just such an understatement on this, because they... Like I said, I don't think they really understood what the story was about when they decided to adapt it.
They dropped the UFO.
Yeah. It's more than that.
It's almost getting to a sad state of affairs when Sony is actually the ones putting out some of the good properties.
Sony's track record's not that good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing with Morbius was they had some great ideas. They just did not have the actors or the writers or the directors to really implement, you know, to implement what they wanted to do. Right. It's the difference between when they did the original Blade film. As much as they didn't really seem to understand the comic, they made a good film. They had great actors. No, they did. It was full of action. It was full of fun. It was, you know, like, well, the film isn't. Oh, yes. Well, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, is they still made a good movie. Not an Oscar contender by any stretch.
It made Blade a more relevant character.
Well, it made Blade watchable. Yeah. But, I mean, it was a watchable film. You can go back and watch it today and still enjoy it. Whereas, I dare...
Maybe I will someday.
Yeah. But I want to see how many people out there are willing to rewatch Morbius.
I haven't watched it once, so.
Everything about it is just so poorly executed. And again, they could have made a great film.
Like, sounds like a Jared Leto movie.
The potential was there, right? You know, it really was. It was. Yeah, no, there's
Really?
fantastic potential. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll ignore her. But they messed it up so bad. All right. And I don't know what they were thinking. It was like, this is not another Transformers sequel. This is a Marvel property. You have the ability to do a good film. You have the budget. You have the actors. But they just didn't bother with a good director or a good writer. I don't know what they were thinking. Oh, I can. I can.
I
Oh, I've heard
think
that, but
what I think Ant-Man
yeah, I've
had some
heard
of
that,
that
but
going
that's
on.
that wasn't the problem with Morbius, right? With Morbius, it wasn't about special
No,
effects.
but
The
Bill
special
slung but
effects were
MCU
decent,
stuff.
right? No, I'm talking about Morbius per se. The Marvels, I'm. As much as I really feel like I should watch it all so I can criticize it or compliment it, whatever the case may be, I just watched the trailers for the Marvels, and that was enough to make me go, what the hell is this? Why would I waste my time on it? Yeah, right, fair enough. But I just found with Morbius, like I say, they had the raw material, they had the actors, they just didn't apply the talent behind the screen that they had on the screen. I mean. But I mean, whether you like Jared Leto or not, same with Matt Smith, whether you
At
like
least
either of
now
these
they
guys or
do.
not, you cannot deny how talented they are. And they just. It was just a clownish effort.
Sony learned the hard way to give their directors some more leeway.
Well,
Yeah, now they're probably gonna go the opposite direction again at some point too.
yeah. Yeah. You're breaking up there, Bill.
Okay, normally it just happens on my end, so I didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
You broke out of that last sentence I completed.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, getting into the DC end of things, their movies lately have just been crap too. Oh my God. Between fact, the second Shazam movie, which could have been good, but was just crap.
They
Right? It was just
had
so
so much
bad.
stock in the Flash movie and it performed so badly for
Well,
what they
yeah, they.
I've heard it's a really good movie.
No. Yeah, well, one, get rid of Ezra Miller. They should have put Grant Gustin in. Yeah,
They
but.
took enough time to get that movie out that they should have fucking
Well, they had enough
done
time to
something to
pull.
write Ezra out or something.
Literally every DC
It's a
fan would have been.
multiverse movie. Fucking write him, make reshoots to write him out and
Yeah,
make recast the
but
Flash.
like, literally. Yeah,
Grant
that's what
Gustin's
I'm trying to
awesome.
say is literally every DC fan would have been behind them replacing Ezra Miller with Grant Gustin.
It probably would have done better.
Yeah, we'd all have been happy to see
I might
him
have even
step
gone to
up.
see it.
Yeah.
I've heard the CGI is bad.
It is not good. Yeah, it's not good at all.
Wow. Yeah,
this is Xena Warrior Princess level friggin' special effects. It is just, it's so badly animated, it's just...
And these fuckers have Blue Beetle come out of all fins next. Right. Which they haven't even been fucking, they haven't even been advertising. They were predicting, like... They're predicting it'd make, like, maybe, like, 22 million its whole run in the recent prediction.
Well, I think it'll make more than that, but I'm telling you, watching it, there were moments where I would burst into laughter. At scenes that I'm pretty sure I wasn't supposed to laugh
at. I meant for Blue Beetle, not Flash.
Oh, Blue Beetle will probably do better than you think. The babies. I thought I was going to hurt myself laughing. I almost died laughing. Oh my God. Oh. Yeah. But it was just, oh God, it was so bad. However, I do think the Blue Beetle's going to do better than people think. I do.
How? They don't, haven't even been advertising it.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think it can. I don't. Yeah, but that movie bombed. That's not saying much.
What's that? The Flash?
There's yeah. Still
no. I've seen the trailer. It looks really good.
I don't think it's going to be able to perform because I don't think they've had enough behind it.
Wow.
Well, the social media guy wasn't even to promote the movie, but wasn't even active for like 30 days recently. Like, yeah, there's no promotion going on for it at all. Well, yeah, and they can't be now with the strikes and stuff. There is certain amounts of promotion that can't happen anyway. But even before those were going, this movie they'd kind of just let drift and weren't promoting it.
I'm going to go watch it. I'll tell you that. That's all I know.
Well, you enjoy that. I'm not.
I will.
I have no stick in the Blue Beetle movie.
You would know a good movie that jumped up and bit you in the wee-wee. Seriously.
It might be good, but it's Blue Beetle. Anybody, who asked for a Blue Beetle movie?
Do not take Ryan's advice on films. Okay, we haven't already said that 1,000 times. Whatever he says,
they made a Blue Beetle movie, the opposite. And they could have, like, they made Blue Beetle the new Blue Beetle from 2006, the Jamie Reyes one. It's not that, it's not that I necessarily want a Ted Kord movie, but if they did Ted Kord and Booster Gold, that could have been a better, if they did Blue Beetle and Booster Gold together, that could have been pretty fun. That's what people wanted for years.
Okay, Ryan. Sure.
Blue and gold, bitch. No, me neither, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, like I say, I've seen the trailer. It looks good. I'm going to watch it.
I mean, at least it's got a little more. At least it gets a little more representation in the DC universe by getting the Hispanic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah, you really had no reason to watch that.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yes, it was. I've seen that one.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Oh, it's
wasted
so bad.
2 hours or whatever of my life.
You've wasted most of your life with the crap you watch.
Well, that's true, but, like, we don't need to go into that. No, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it
fuck
is.
You.
Really?
It fucking sucks. I hate you guys.
Yeah, but it's right up your alley. It's a horrible film.
It fucking
so
sucks.
So it's something you should love.
Oh my God. I have some standards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure Rob Zombie's going to make a new movie soon, so your drought will be over.
I hate you guys. Let's fucking talk about the goddamn comics.
Yeah, okay.
It's a full...
Yeah, I mean, do we want to waste this podcast just talking about Monster House for you, Ryan?
Not today. That is a fantastic movie. But...
Bingo.
Today is an all-Thor episode here for these comics from 1965. So Journey into Mystery issues 117 to 122 is what we're covering today. And on that note, let's get right into it with issue 117, the A story, which is titled Into the Blaze of Battle. Stan Lee writing, Jack Kirby on art, Vincent Coletta on inks, Jack Kirby and Frank Giacola on cover art, Artie Simic on letters, April 1965 release date, 16-page story, and Dan will take this one away.
Yeah, and off and running we go. I'm not even going to attempt to talk about the cover. It's just... It's Kirby at his worst.
This is the worst issue of the Thor run around, by the way, just to let you know.
Okay.
You're welcome. See what we
it
mean.
Very much is. Oh, I can. It really is too. You can feel it. Yeah, it really did. So, synopsis straight out of the Marvel database. Here we go, ladies and germs. Thor and Loki have returned to Asgard following the Trial of the Gods, which Loki had cheated by using enchanted stones to win the trial. When Thor attempts to take the stone by force, Loki sends them to Earth, and Thor is unable to do anything to stop the trickster god. Brought before Odin, Thor informs Odin of the cheating and asks to be allowed to go to Earth to find proof, a request Odin grants, sending Thor to Earth instantly. Just boop, you know. While on Earth, Balder the Brave is busy trying to defend Jane Foster from the Executioner and the Enchantress. Balder manages to hold his own. However, it is not until the timely arrival of Thor that the two villains release Jane and flee the scene. Leaving Jane in Balder's care, which he already had done, Thor goes searching for the enchanted stones, using his Uru hammer to track them. This fucking hammer is pretty much omnipotent. It can do anything, can't it? Okay.
He's still a little bit Superman, Thor.
Yeah. His search brings him to Vietnam, where he flies into a conflict zone and finds himself attacked by the Viet Cong army. Knocked out by an artillery blast, Thor revives later to find himself taken in by Vietnamese villagers who have tended for them. Thanking them for their kindness, Thor resumes his search for the stones. This brings him deep into the jungles, forcing Thor to change into Donald Blake so he can more easily maneuver through the dense foliage. What? So...
I don't know what just happened.
The god, Thor, the god, is having problems moving through the foliage, so it becomes the guy with the cripple with the cane. So he can move through the jungle easy.
It's stupid.
Fair enough. Makes perfect sense when you put it that way.
Why they just couldn't say greatest...
Thor's costume kept getting snagged in the trees.
Stop doing the writer's work for them, Bill.
Well, let's hope he doesn't find a bungee pit or he's screwed. As he continues his search, he's unaware that Loki is watching. And to the god of mischief's glee, is wandering right into an enemy camp. Seriously? Seriously? Oh, God. When Blake is captured by the Viet Cong, he's taken to their leader, who considers him a spy. Wow, imagine finding an American in the jungle in Vietnam in the 60s and thinking he's a spy. Really? Really? Oh, come on. It's a perfect cover. went to Vietnam for the healing waters. Of course. It makes perfect sense. For the local cuisine, that's what it was. Yeah. No. Blake tries to explain that he is in the region to treat people because he's a doctor. However, Commander Hung Sak does not believe him due to sightings of Thor in the area. Okay. When more villagers are taken in as prisoners, it turns out that they are Husak's family, who are upset to find that their long-lost brother has joined with the Viet Cong. Wow. As the tensions are... Oh, yeah, I already know where this is going. As the tensions are turned towards this reunion of sorts, Blake uses a momentary distraction to escape. Getting out of sight, he manages to tap his cane and transform into Thor, who resumes his search for the stones. He finds them hidden in the artillery cache and recovers them when he hears gunshots. These shots are fired by Husak, who murders his parents in cold blood, but realizes at the last minute what he has done and is horrified. When his sister Kim flees, Thor goes to her rescue, smashing up the soldiers chasing her. When they are once again met by Husak, who allows Thor to take the girl to safety. In order to repent for his past sins, Husak sacrifices himself by detonating the artillery, killing himself and destroying his base. Man, this is... How come Rob Zombie didn't film this? Why did he not grab this and film it? I mean, come on, it's ripe for Rob Zombie.
The story of Husak.
Yeah. You know, the long-lost member of the Firefly family. Hung Sak. I did that. That was just painful. Propaganda. Just painful.
Yeah, it was not a good read. I gave it a 2. It almost got a 1, but there's a few of the character interactions that gave it the little bump up.
Okay. Yeah, taken into account when it was released, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and American involvement at that point hadn't gotten as heavy as it was going to. Yeah. 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 No. I'm not going to delve into the, you know, the times, but I really wouldn't give this more than a 2 at best.
I agree. That's why I didn't.
Okay, I'm just basing it on the story and itself. It's not good.
And a reminder to everybody, yeah, too, we don't change our ratings from what we originally rate them either.
Yeah.
If we feel any different.
But heavy...
Well, I was at one point, but yes. Yeah, I'm good now, but at the start of the podcast I was, but that was forever ago.
Oh my. Okay,
anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, rapidly move on to 118.
Yeah, the Ace Story of 118. To Kill a Thunder God is the title. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby back together. Woohoo. If Encyclopedia's on inks, Frank Giacola joins for Jack Kirby on art for the cover, which is a better cover this time. Artie Simic on letters. May 1965 release date. 16, excuse me, page story. And Dan Walls, take this one.
Okay, the cover is better, except Scorpion's tail doesn't seem to be anywhere to be seen. What's that? Okay. But yeah. Yeah, it's
this
not
is
a
the first
cover.
Appearance of the Destroyer.
The very first appearance.
Yep.
Okay, we step right on in where we left off. Having saved the life of Kim, the sister of Viet Cong general, he brings her to a U.S. military base in Vietnam for protection before leaving for a private place to check and make sure that all the mystical stones that he's come looking for are there. Loki, however, has been manipulating events, drawing a crooked and abusive reporter to stumble upon Thor and knock him out with sleeping gas and taking him hostage, hoping he could ransom Thor off for money. This explorer has been in the region investigating strange and out-of-place Norse artifacts and soon deciphers their inscriptions to find that they unearth a long-buried Asgardian tomb. Playing right into Loki's hands, the explorer enters the tomb and finds the Destroyer, an ancient suit of enchanted armor. Loki then uses his magic power to transfer the explorer's soul into the armor to bring it to life. Okay. When Thor revives later, he's advised by the natives of what had happened and tracks the explorer back to the tomb where he finds a man's inert body. He is soon attacked by the Destroyer, and Thor finds that his strength and hammer have no effect on it. Loki soon realizes that the Destroyer will do more than destroy the jewels that prove that he cheated at the trial of the gods, but also destroy Thor as well. This realization also leads Loki to believe that Odin's wrath would lead to an investigation into Thor's death, which would implicate him as a mastermind. With this, Loki begrudgingly realizes he will have to save Thor from the Destroyer. Seeking to trick Odin into stopping the Destroyer, Loki is horrified to find out that Odin has entered the uninterpretable Odin sleep to recharge his powers.
Uninterruptible. Which is one of the... This is one of the plot points that doesn't make sense that I was talking about last week. Because Odin enters...
Oh, as opposed to all the other ones.
Well, Odin enters his fucking Odin sleep, but Odin's supposed to be waiting for Thor to get back after 24 hours to show the Norn stones. Why has he gone into his Odin sleep for 24 hours when he's supposed to
he's
be...
He's old. He needs a goddamn nap. Fuck off.
Thor to
live
come.
With it.
They also, kind of, that's a retroactive way to look at it too, but also they kind of just dropped the 24 hours part of the plot point that Thor was supposed to come back with the Norn stones anyway. Yeah, so that's one of the inconsistencies. I know one of the other ones I was thinking of last week is something to do with a Superman's powers, but I don't remember exactly what. Anyways, continue. Well. Oh. No, but there's when he comes back later in this episode, there was an inconsistency with his powers from his first appearances to his second ones or whatever that takes place or something like that. Anyways.
Okay, so Loki's attempts to rouse Odin are stopped by his royal guard, and Loki is locked in the dungeon. Back on Earth, the battle between Thor and the Destroyer rages on, with Thor constantly on the defensive, until he is trapped when the Destroyer briefly changes the floor into liquid and back to solidify once again, trapping Thor in it. On Asgard, Loki attempts to break free of his cell, but is stopped once more and shackled as well. Finally, back on Earth, the Destroyer, wanting to be returned to his own body, sends a final mystical blast towards Thor, one he hopes will destroy the Thunder God. Boom.
Yeah. It is.
No, it's not that bad.
Which... It's also too bad the first two-thirds of the story kind of suck, because it made me give this a 2. It almost did. The first half to two-thirds was just so fucking bad. The stuff with Kim, my God.
Yeah.
And the... Between that and the archaeologist is fucking...
Archaeologist?
Yeah, sure. I didn't care to try to correct myself. I didn't. Fuck him.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I don't like a person being in destroyer armor. I like the more... Yeah, well, it's stupid. I'm used to the more mythical destroyer where it's just...
Well, Ryan, hopefully at some point Rob Zombie will step in and rewrite all of this and do a whole new version for you.
No, but somebody does. Because they make the destroyer better. I didn't like this. That's when it's better. Okay, well, good. I can't wait for that then. Because I think a person being in the suit is dumb. Personally.
Yeah.
Oh, goody. Anyways, that's my thoughts on the comic.
Yeah.
I'm in the minority here, but I don't care. I didn't like it.
It wasn't horrible. I give it a very high, too.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a higher, too, I suppose. Yeah, it's gotta be... Because this really wasn't that good for a first appearance. Well, moving on to issue 119, the A story, which is titled The Day of the Destroyer. I actually like this one more, but anyway. This is the one I was looking at when I said that earlier.
Yeah, that's nasty.
This
cover.
Is the one I was commenting on. This sucks. Stan Lee and Jack, of course, on this. Vincent Coletta still. Vincent Coletta actually joins the cover, which is why it's so bad. Artie Simic's on letters. And June 1965 release date, 16-page story, and I will take this one away, hopefully very fast. Thor is spared from a death deal and bolt of mystic energy fired by the Destroyer when he suddenly becomes briefly immaterial, allowing the God of Thunder to escape his attacker. Thor is completely unaware that this has been done by his stepbrother Loki, who, although imprisoned in a cell in Asgard, has entered into a mystical trance to save Thor from destruction in order to prevent the discovery of his cheating in the trial of the gods. Reviving from his coma when being checked upon by his guards, Loki seeks additional help and channels his mystical powers to try and contact the kingdom of the Norns. Back on Earth, meanwhile, Thor continues his escape from the Destroyer, which relentlessly continues its attempts to destroy Thor. Thor gains an advantage when he doubles back to the room where the body of the man whose soul inhabits the Destroyer and takes hold of it. Yeah, I hate that shit too. It's the soul. It's not even a person in the armor. It's the soul. It's the soul of the person in the armor. I hate that bullshit. And then their body's there to fuck with. Thor gains an advantage when he doubles back to the room where the body of the man whose soul inhabits the destroyer takes hold of it. The destroyer is about to use its disintegration ray, but hesitates, knowing that if he was to destroy his human body, he would be trapped in the destroyer armor forever. He would deserve it. Back in Asgard, Loki manages to communicate with Carnilla, the Norn Queen, whom he asks to aid him in rousing Odin from the Odin sleep. By the way, Carnilla becomes a pretty cool character at one point. Carnilla is convinced. Well, that's good, because I like Carnilla. Carnilla's been used very well in some modern comics. Carnilla is convinced, and she uses her mystical powers to rise Odin from his rest, and the Allfather instantly knows that Thor is in trouble and contacts him to tell him that he will return the Destroyer's soul back to his body. Caught in a stalemate, the Destroyer complies and his soul is returned to his body. However, the man, knowing full well that Thor cannot harm a human being, makes another attempt to possess the Destroyer armor. However, Thor causes the temple to collapse and carries his would-be killer to safety. With the temple destroyed, Thor presumes that presumes that the Destroyer armor is lost to anyone who might exploit its destructive power. With the threat of the Destroyer ended, Odin correctly suspects Loki's treachery and punishes him to work under Ulrich, the royal warlock, until further notice. Although Loki complies with this command, he vows to get revenge and begins thinking of new schemes to get revenge against Thor. While back on Earth, Thor lets the explorer who nearly killed him go free, and tries to use his hammer to fly back to America, but finds that his hammer has been damaged in the battle. Needing to access a forge to fix his damaged weapon, Thor uses one of the Norn stones that he had collected to levitate himself back to the States. While back on Asgard, Loki is working under Ulrich, where he quietly feels nothing but indignation for being treated as a mere wizard's apprentice, and continues to plot his revenge. Okay. That was that one.
You're right, that's a filler.
Bill meant that the next one's the filler. They both... Transition. Yeah, where we gotta fix this hammer. Anyways, before we get fully into that, though, our ratings for this one, I gave this one 3. I slightly enjoyed this better than the last one. Mainly because this one had more Odin and Loki in it and whatever, and that was the entertaining part of this whole thing.
That does help the story. Yeah, to spread out the misery.
I really did not care for the Destroyer in these two comics at all. So any time getting away,
have an effect on him.
Anytime we get away, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to 120. One. A story for this as well, with my hammer in hand. It's titled, same team besides Jack's by himself on the cover, apparently, which this is the best cover so far, arguably. Already Simics on letters. The background Loki sucks, but besides that. Oh, it's Swordman. I'm stupid. It still sucks because he's all green, but I guess...
It's not a bad cover. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but... The next two both have good covers, but so far this is the best one. Fair. Fuck Thor.
Anyway. Yeah.
July 1965 release date, 16-page story. Let's get into it. Okay, Thor has returned to the United States, sadly, where he has traveled to a foundry in Pittsburgh to repair damages done to his hammer during his battle with the Destroyer in Vietnam. With his hammer repaired, Thor collects the Norn stones that Loki used to cheat with during the Trial of the Gods, and makes sure that he has all of the stones before returning to Asgard. That doesn't last. However, as he departs the Earth, he unknowingly and accidentally drops one. It definitely... Yes. Yes. Yes, they do. And by eventually, we mean later in this episode. Yes, I know, but the first appearance of that character is in this episode. Probably. When he turns the stones over to Odin, the All-Father plans harsh punishment. However, Thor begs his father to have mercy, which does Odin proud. Meanwhile, in the castle of Ulrich, Loki continues to toil in his forced role of being the Court Warlock 8. However, when Ulrich's guard is down, Loki knocks him out with a gas and then seals him in a sphere and drops him down into a time vault. Now with the entire court's magical texts and potion materials, Loki begins plotting anew to get revenge against Thor. After spending some time in Asgard, Thor finds himself restless and asks Odin if he may return to Earth. Odin decides to grant this request and transports his favorite son back to the mortal world. Returning to the office, he maintains as Donald Blake. Thor is shocked to find the window to his office locked and Jean nowhere to be found. Changing into Donald Blake, gaining entry into the office where he finds that the paperwork is all out of order and Jean is nowhere to be found. I somehow lost my spot. I can't read. Finding no note, Blake assumes that Jane has been kidnapped when he is disturbed by the landlord coming to collect the overdue rent. Having more pressing concerns, Blake walks out of his office and notes one of his patients and tells her that he can't see her. However, she advises Blake that she has decided to see the new doctor that has opened up an office down the hall during his absence. Rounding the corner, Blake changes back into Thor and gives a rise to his landlord before leaving the office. Finding the streets too confining and needing to find a quiet place to think about where to start searching for Jane, Thor decides to go to Avengers Mansion. There he finds the new Avengers recruits, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver, who explain that they have been added to the Avengers roster following Thor, Iron Man, and Giant Man's absence from the team. Not wanting the aid of the new recruits, the further frustrated Thor storms out of the mansion. Finding a rooftop to ponder his situation, Thor is unaware elsewhere in the city, Jane Foster is also thinking of him. When her thoughts are interrupted by the entry of a shadowed man who tells her to forget the man she loved, because they are now together. How is this worse than I remember it being just by reading the synopsis? While back in Asgard, Loki has created a device that uses magic to reconstitute the gaseous form of the Absorbent Man and sends him hurtling back to Earth to get his revenge against Thor. While on Earth, Thor gets inspiration from witnessing a TV news interview and decides that the best way to try and find Jane would be to send out a special broadcast to her. However, on his way to a television station, Thor is stopped when suddenly the Absorbent Man crashes right in front of him, and seeing his old foe, the Absorbent Man wants nothing more than a rematch against Thor. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
This is actually my favorite cliffhanger. It was.
Yeah.
They barely touched it in the synopsis. It was only one page. Holy fuck! It felt like longer. More than that. One page has never felt longer.
So, how does this Philadelphia foundry reforge a magic hammer? Oh, okay. So we can like change the air, and move through time and all that stuff just because it's a hammer. That's why carpenters keep disappearing when they're working. They're going back in time. Oh. You know what? If you hadn't told me that, I wouldn't know it.
The hammer doesn't have the inscriptions and everything and all the enchantments on it yet. Yeah, it's not. It's no, not like but a.
It's, so it's just a hammer.
If he be were.
So he doesn't need the hammer to turn the air to helium or create storms. Oh. So anybody can lift it. And its shape is what just naturally makes it boomerang back to him.
Sure. I think there.
Just ask it.
I think there's enchantments on it, but it's not as enchant. It's not as enchanted. Like it's the hammer itself isn't as powerful and enchanted as it will be, but there might be enchantments on it. That's the almighty weapon. Yes, that is. Yes. No, I. The, no,
because
the flying
in the next
fin
issue,
is,
the hammer comes back to him deliberately.
Yeah, well, because the hammer fin coming back to him is an enchantment. The hammer must always return to Thor. He says multiple times in these comics, the hammer must always return to Thor. And then the flying fin is just because he spins his hammer fast enough and throws it. It's just stupid physics. No, it's not. It's just Stan being an idiot. No, it's just Stan being an idiot. It's addressed that as much in the previous comics. They probably don't. I think it is an enchantment in the future, but... Oh, I know, because I... Well, yeah, fair enough. It might also just be... It's probably just people retroactively making it make sense. Well, yeah. I gave this one a 3.
I'm going to give it a 1.
Well, fuck you.
Just saying.
I don't know. It read worse in the synopsis than I remembered it being. So. That's not good. Come on, Bill. We can't let this be the Dan and Ryan show.
It's Bill's turn. He's given up. He's run away.
That's fucked up.
He's been returned to his master, is what it is.
Didn't even get your star rating, buddy.
Does he know he's not on?
I don't know.
Or is he just... Oh, his computer's being screwed up.
Well, just stall for time. I'm sure Bill probably agreed with me and gave that a 3.
Oh, absolutely.
Considering much worse as you have been given a 3 by Bill.
Yeah, you guys give everything a friggin' 3, no matter
I
how
don't
bad it
as
is.
Much. I'm a little more picky than Bill is with these.
Not by much.
But by enough that it's a difference.
I don't know.
Yeah. I have nothing to talk about.
He must have had to reboot. Yeah. But I just... I really question the...
Uh-huh.
There he is.
Yeah, I
know. That.
I know.
Oh, cool.
I got a whole thing about it. But yeah, I said I gave it a 3. I'm guessing you did too.
I did as well.
Yeah.
I liked it substantially more than I remembered liking it.
Well, let's rip on into the next one.
Issue 121, A Story, The Power, The Passion, The Pride. This is a white rally, and I'm just kidding.
I mean, it does have a large white man featured prominently on the cover.
A large white skinhead.
Let's make Thor great again.
Well, let's indeed, as the Absorbent Man is back. Stanley and Jack Kirby. Vince Aglietta on inks, cover art, Jack Kirby by himself again, apparently. Artie Simic on letters. August 1960.
So you guys are totally part of this Thor Pride thing, aren't you?
I mean, I wasn't going to bring up Odinus, but that is a whole thing.
August 1965.
Okay. Thor Pride.
16-page story.
What looks like?
Probably got a hammer in the middle of it, I suppose.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of bad puns we could leap into here. Let's just avoid that.
Bill will take us through this story.
Okay, Bill, you're up.
All right. While trying to learn what happened to Jane Foster, Thor finds himself attacked by the recently revived Absorbing Man. As the battle rages, the Absorbing Man attempts to rest...
He becomes completely absorbed in the battle.
Yes. The Absorbing Man attempts to wrest Thor's hammer away. However, the enchantment that makes it return to Thor when he throws it prevents this from happening. While in Asgard... Yes, Dan, I know.
Okay.
I said it's addressed. Didn't listen to me. It has been addressed before this, and I didn't realize it was coming in the next issue, else I would have said it, but...
Yeah, I didn't remember that either.
I did.
You haven't even read this.
He probably looked ahead in the synopsis. That wouldn't shock me.
Well, no, he wouldn't have stayed that quiet if he did.
Oh, maybe it would have.
Well, in Asgard, Loki watches the battle with eagerness, however... That's an uncomfortable sentence. Well, in Asgard, Loki watches the battle with eagerness. However, he is briefly interrupted by Baldur the Brave, who has come to make sure that Loki isn't up to mischief. Period. However, I'm editing this... incredible run-on sentences I got.
Yeah, now you're getting it. Good.
Yeah. However, Loki manages to convince the trusting Baldur that he's not up to anything before resuming his watch of the battle between Thor and the Absorbing Man. Back on Earth, the Absorbing Man attempts to gain the upper hand by absorbing the height and properties of nearby skyscrapers, making him grow titanic in size. This is probably the power that was bothering you because he never had the ability to grow... gain size before or since. However, the Thunder God is still able to keep the Absorbing Man on the defensive. Spelled wrong. Okay, I'm going to stop taking shots at this guy now. And ultimately, the Absorbing Man resumes his natural size and the battle rages on. Watching the battle on TV and witnessing the carnage from outside of a window is Jane Foster, who is asked to not be seen by the mysterious hooded man who has brought her to this location and tells her that he will explain why he has gathered her in due course before leaving her alone once more. Well, back on Asgard, Loki is finally left alone and checks on Ullaric to ensure that the warlock is still subdued and makes sure that both Baldur and Odin are preoccupied with other matters before plotting his ultimate revenge. Elsewhere, still on Earth, the one Nornstone dropped by Thor is still left unattended, an omen of trouble ahead. Although it has presumably teleported to Africa at this point, because I'm pretty sure that's where it's found. Back in New York City, Thor continues his battle against the Absorbing Man, who briefly becomes very vulnerable when he accidentally absorbs the property of glass and has to flee. He seeks refuge in a bank vault, assuming the property of its steel, before Thor smashes through and continues their battle. As the battle takes them out into the streets once more, the police scramble to get the crowd away. When a young child gets into the middle of the battle, Thor takes his attentions off the Absorbing Man long enough for his foe to land a powerful blow that knocks the Thunder God out.
That was actually a pretty good story beat when he saves the kid and whatever.
Yeah, no, this is a good issue.
It's better than usual.
This one was actually a solid 3.
I need to check because I think this... No, this was still a 3 for me as well. It's the next
It was like a middle to high 3. It was close to a 4.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I wanted to give this one a 4, but I definitely enjoyed it a lot.
I like seeing the Absorbed Man back. It was Potmy. He's my boy.
I enjoyed him in this run way more than I expected I was going to.
I enjoyed him more the second time around than I did when he actually first appeared.
Yeah. I really like how Kirby changes his entire design to fit whatever he's absorbed to.
The art... Jack Kirby's art, like I said last week, is the best in Thor, and he really starts showing off that with his use of Absorbed Man's powers. Because he does some brilliant art pieces when the Absorbed Man is used.
Yeah, I think specifically for Thor, Vince Coletta makes Jack Kirby better.
Yeah.
I say for Thor because I've seen him ink Kirby on Fantastic Four too, and he's terrible there because they like to do the really complicated Kirby machinery, and he's too lazy to do all the details, so he just like blots out big parts of it, but it works really well for Thor.
Yeah. But yeah, let's move on to our last issue of the episode, and that is issue 122, A Story. I am in the minority for this one, which we'll talk about later. This one is Where Mortals Fear to Tread. Stanley, Jack Kirby, Vince Coletta. Wallace Wood apparently joins for the cover, which, interesting if that's true. Letters by Artie Simek. September 1965 release date, 16-page story, and Bill will take us away with this one.
Alright, before I jump into this one, I'm going to point out a notable milestone that this is the first time I remember noticing on a comic. We may have already covered one or two, but this is the one I noticed with the pop art in print.
It's not the first one.
Okay, then I just wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah, it's been on since issue 119. 119
yeah,
is the first one.
It only lasted for a couple of months. Oh, it's not on the image. Yes, it is. But yeah, it only lasted for a couple of months. It was an attempt to make comic books more prestigious than they were. Stan tried to redefine them, much like sports entertainment.
Yeah, and then they got a ton of letters hating it, so they went back to just being Marvel.
Yeah.
There was a whole note. I saw that last week on the notes section of the Marvel database and was going to point it out and completely forgot. But yeah, anyways.
Alrighty.
So, boasting over defeating Thor in battle, the Absorbing Man fails to realize that the Thunder God was merely stunned and not defeated. With his back turned, Crusher Creel fails to see Thor reviving and launching a counterattack. The Absorbing Man is caught off guard, giving Thor the upper hand. Watching this from Asgard, Loki believes that the Thunder God will be able to defeat his minion and decides that the Absorbing Man would be better used by his size and uses an attractor beam device to transport the Absorbing Man from Earth to Asgard in mid-battle, leaving Thor puzzled about the sudden disappearance of his foe. Okay, I'm just going to point out here that Loki canonically can use magic at this point.
Yes.
There is no reason he needed a fucking absorbing or tractor beam to get the guy up there.
Yeah.
Apparently size does matter. It's never a thing we've learned here so far.
Yeah. However, Thor's attention is taken away when Jane Foster, who has been watching from a nearby building, causes a fire in order to attract Thor's attention, since she's become a prisoner of a strange hooded man. Coming to her rescue, Thor finds that Jane has passed out from smoke inhalation and changes back into Donald Blake in order to administer medical aid. This plays into the hooded man's hands, who photographs the transition. The masked man then reveals himself as the Affiliated Press reporter Harris Hobbs.
It was me all along, Thor.
That's pretty much how dumb this was. While in Asgard, the absorbing man materializes in front of Loki, who subdues him into subservience with his superior mystical powers and convinces him to help him overthrow Asgard. When Loki brings Creel into the Imperial Palace, they are stopped by the guards. However, the absorbing man is able to make short work of them. Back on Earth, Donald Blake has brought Jane Foster to a... Sorry, what was that?
Nothing.
I think Dan's just laughing at the way that was broken.
Your reaction.
Well, there was more to that sentence, but it was repetitive and made no sense, so I just cut it arbitrarily.
Yeah. Keep on going. Keep on going.
Back on Earth, Donald Blake has brought Jane Foster to a hospital where she is expected to make a full recovery in time. He receives a message to meet with Hobbs, who organized a secret meeting of the two that afternoon. Jesus, this is poorly phrased.
Mm-hmm.
He receives a message to meet with Hobbs. Okay, that's the same sentence, and I'm getting lost now.
Before he leaves, he assures Jane he will not leave her.
Fuck off, Dan.
I'm just saying.
You can see how badly written this is.
Yeah.
Going to the roof, Blake decides to confront Hobbs as Thor and changes into his godly identity and travels there to their meeting place. Naturally, Harrison attempts to blackmail Thor into giving him a full story about his origins using the photographic evidence and the fact that Thor has pledged never to harm a mortal as means to extort the information out of the Thunder God. Furious at the reporter's audacity, Thor instead decides to use his vast powers to travel... Just a second. I need to figure out what this fucker's trying to say here. Okay. Thor uses his power to take Hobbs to different time periods and worlds until Hobbs concedes and agrees to destroy all the evidence linking Thor to Donald Blake under one condition. That Thor brings Harris Hobbs to fabled Asgard so they can write a report about the mystical land. Impressed with Hobbs' ability to maintain his sanity through these travels, Thor agrees to bring him. And just in case anyone thinks that I'm just being a baby about this, the original sentence that threw me off is Thor instead decides to use his vast powers to travel Hobbs from different time periods and other worlds to the point where Harris concedes and agrees to destroy all photographic evidence linking Thor to Donald Blake under one condition, that Thor brings Harris Hobbs to fabled Asgard so that he can write a report about the mythical land. Yes, that is all one sentence, despite the several incorrect capitalizations that happen within it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know which is worse, the story itself or the synopsis.
The story's actually pretty good.
I disagree. I didn't like this one.
No, I'm not enjoying this at all.
I gave this one a 2.
Well, fortunately, there's only one paragraph left.
Yeah, the short one.
While back on Asgard, the absorbing man fights all the way into Odin's throne room. There, the All-Father attempts to destroy the Absorbing Man. Sorry, I fit Dan in for a second there. With a blast from his scepter. However, all he succeeds in doing is causing the Absorbing Man to absorb the properties of the blast and in turn turn the energies against Odin himself. And that's the end of the story.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible.
I actually enjoyed this when I read it the first time, although I can't justify it because it seems I forgot to reread it because I remember none of this.
It seems really contrived.
It's really not good. The fucking reporter shit sucks, and it continues to suck in the next issue. It's all bullshit. The only good shit with this is Absorbing Man part of the time. Bill pointed out how foolish the fucking Loki Ray was, and I wasn't even complaining about that beforehand.
Yeah, but you'd think by now.
Really?
Because
I found Hobbs to be a powerhouse in this.
Fuck off.
You'd expect these gods to understand that the Absorbing Man is absorbing things, like, say, their powers. You know, I just throwing that out there.
You see, this is how we know Dan's not actually reading these, because he expects Odin to be a good father who makes intelligent decisions and doesn't arbitrarily punish his sons.
No, I expect him not to be a fucking idiot, though.
Yeah, the only time Odin the only time Odin makes sense is in the next issue, which we all have to wait till next week to get to.
Oh God, that was just horrible.
It was pretty bad. I genuinely gave it a 2. I did not like that one.
I'm not even going to try to justify the 4 because, like I said, I think I missed this one on the reread, and I don't remember what I was thinking the first time through.
You know, this was really not entertaining at all.
It's actually Bill's actually more towards the average, though. It's got a 3.53 on the site, but I don't know why, because this really wasn't that good.
Yeah, and reading the synopsis, I didn't like what it sounded like the story was, and I legit don't remember what I liked about it the first time.
I don't know either. You must be a Hobbs mark. I know some people on this. That some people on the site loved the Hobbs. Like, he used their new boy. There's literally comments saying that. So, some people liked the Hobbs shit.
It probably did read better to me than in synopsis form, but I can't remember enough to justify it.
Yeah.
No, it's
anyway,
not that good.
In case Dan decides he wants to bow out for End of Muff stuff, we'll just go over what's coming next week, so Dan kind of gets a tease of that, too. So next week, we'll finish off this Thor run of Ace Stories with issue 123, A Journey into Mystery, before getting a few Tales of Asgard after that with the B stories of issues 114, 15, and 16. Then we will go into, if I don't lose myself here, oh god, it's Tales to Astonish? Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It's Tales to Astonish issues. 60.
Numbers hard.
I can't. My fucking spreadsheet got fucked up. I'm trying to get back. Okay. Now I can.
It's this Iron Man story.
Okay. It is Tales of Suspense, not Astonish. I got lost in my spreadsheets. Tales of Astonish, issues 66, 67, and 68 A stories. There we go. Which is the, is this the fucking happy arc where he fucking leaves, I think? Yeah.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure.
Is it the happy arc where he leaves? The 66 is alright.
It's a short arc of,
I hate 67 and 68.
I think Bill's
pushing back.
It's
not because Happy left.
Well, he doesn't leave for long, but
I
know what you're
talking
about.
That's not my issue with those two issues.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
anyways,
gentlemen.
It should be an interesting week next week.
Right.
We will bid Dan adieu.
Adieu, guys. You have fun with the rest of this.
Have a good one, Dan.
Next week.
See you next week.
Maybe. Okay.
Unless he's protesting health infringements at his job.
Yeah. I was about to say, unless he's cooking floor chicken, but anyways.
I don't think Dan would do the floor chicken.
It's
the rest of the staff there, probably, but not Dan.
It is a end of month time. We haven't done one of these in a while because the last month wasn't. There was only one or two episodes.
We had scheduling issues.
Yes, a little bit. So we'll do our poll lists first, and then we'll go into the best and worst. So poll lists. The only change on mine is I'm gonna add Daredevil back for the month because I think that issue was genuinely good enough. It would have tricked me to put it back on, and we'll see how that lasts.
All right, there are no changes to mine because while I enjoyed that Daredevil, one issue is not enough to save it. And at this point, we're still not covering the Hulk sides of Astonish. So it's not getting pulled in.
See, going on how much I like the story and the fact that his costume changed, I probably would have. It's one of those issues that I'd let do that. I'm sure it won't last.
It will not.
And Astonish, like you were saying, we haven't gotten the Hulk yet, or even Namor.
Yeah, because the Tales of Astonish we read this month, I would be buying, but I'm not going to officially add it to my list till we get to the half of the book that I'd actually be buying for.
Yeah, which is fair. That's the proper way to probably go about it.
We're not going to have this problem much longer. This is the last real lineup change before split books go the way of the dinosaur.
Fury saved Strange Tales from getting kicked off. So,
oh, yeah.
Good job, Fury.
It's been getting... Well, Strange Tales for me has been getting carried by Doctor Strange.
We didn't have any Strange this month, so...
That's true, but...
But Fury saved it, like
I
said.
I would still be buying
it's already
books
it's already been going. Doctor Strange has already been going, so
I'm not gonna kick it off when I know I'd be buying it for the other half of the book.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just a case of us not having read any Hulk yet and not one giant man.
Just I want the credit for picking up Astonish to go to Hulk and not to Hank.
And even though we get a big status quo change in Avengers, I didn't enjoy it enough to add it back yet, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'd want to wait on that, too. I'm also not pulling Avengers. Spoiler, I won't be for Cap's Kooky Quartet, because I found it insufferably difficult to read. You might like it. Like, it's not so much that it's poorly written as that I don't like the personalities, and I find it really annoying to read.
Yeah, that's probably more... I feel like it gets better from a storytelling standpoint, but the characters all being fucking dicks, half the team, is going to be...
Quicksilver and Clint are just absolutely insufferable in it.
Yeah.
It says something when adding Hank Pym back into the book makes it better.
It makes it less toxic.
Yes. Like, that's probably when I'll be adding Avengers, is when Hank comes back, because they mellow out a bit at that point. I think they look at Hank and they're like, wow, we're acting like him.
Oh, fuck. Anyways, let's go into our best and worst of the month, which I think I have picks for now. So we'll let Bill read off what our titles were for our options here.
All right. We have Strange Tales 130, The A Story, Meet the Beatles. Then 131's A Story with the Bouncing Ball of Doom. Fantastic Four 36, first appearance of the Frightful Four. They're at their peak here because Pastepot Pete's still on the team before he renames himself the Trapster. I Will Die on That Hill. X-Men 10 with Kazar. Tales to Astonish 65 A Story with the new Giant Man. That's exactly the same as the old Giant Man, except Jack got bored of drawing that costume. Amazing Spider-Man 22, where they managed to improve the circus of crime by kicking the Ringmaster out. Sergeant Fury 16-17, the sort of two-parter in Africa, where Stan demonstrates his lack of understanding of geography. Fantastic Four 37, where they go to the Skrull homeworld. Amazing Spider-Man 23, The Goblin and the Gangsters with the Green Goblin and Organized Crime. Tales to Astonish 66 A Story with Madame Macabre. Tales to Astonish 67 A Story with the Hidden Man and the Magic Ray that made Hank forget how to grow. Or no, it was how to shrink. But he could shrink to normal size. He just couldn't shrink anymore. Desperate attempt to reboot the book that does not work. Strange Tales 132 A Story where they launch Johnny into space and fail to leave him there. Strange Tales 133, A Story with the Terrible Toys, where the Puppet Master tries to murder Johnny and Ben right in front of his daughter. Strange Tales 134, The Challenge of the Watcher, where the Watcher sends Johnny and Ben back in time for reasons. Strange Tales 135, A Story, first non-Sergeant Fury Fury tale. Tales of Suspense 65, A Story, where Iron Man fights with Iron Man. Tales of Suspense 65, B Story, the Red Skull imposter issue. X-Men 11, where Magneto gets kidnapped by the Stranger and taken to his dungeon to do stuff that's best not reported. X-Men number 12, the origin of Professor X and lead up to the Juggernaut. X-Men 13 with Juggernaut. The Journey into Mystery annual, where Thor fights Hercules. Fantastic Four 38, where the Frightful Four beat them. Avengers 15, where Zemo dies. And 16, where they bring in the new Avengers lineup. Jeez, we covered a lot of stuff.
I know.
Daredevil 7 with Submariner. Journey into Mystery, first appearance of Absorbing Man. And then 115, A Story with the second half of that fight. And then 116 with the Trial of the Gods. And then the stuff we covered today.
Yeah, damn. Let's start off with our least favorite, which is the easier. I thought was going to be the harder one for me.
My favorite was easy this month.
My favorite was easier, and now I'm conflicted again. But
we'll do worst either way first.
Yes, the worst on my end. I know Bill doesn't agree, but I just genuinely hated this one myself. It's the 134 Strange Tales that is Kane and fucking Merlin and back in time, and I just barely read it, and I just didn't, yeah, not for me, not the comic for me.
I mean, that one was not good. I'm not going to be offended by it, by your choice. I just thought 131 was even worse.
I think that...
With the fucking ball.
Yeah, all but like, one of the Strange Tales was, like, really bad.
Oh, they're all terrible.
So I
They're all terrible.
I just went with the one that affected me the most. And also recency bias probably helped.
Yeah, I was expecting I was going to pick Meet the Beatles, but on the reread... It bothered me less than that fucking ball.
The Beatles one, yeah, didn't. I was surprisingly not offended by that, even though it still sucked. But, yeah. The best comic of the month, I'm going to let Bill go first, because I already know Bill's answer.
Yeah, it's Strange Tales 135, A Story. First appearance of Sergeant Fury in the modern era. Just a fantastic spy story. It's probably one of the best I got to stop saying that now. I'm in the habit, thanks to this podcast. Probably one of the best Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. issues out there.
Yeah, and that is in my... That's in my choices for what would be my favorite, but I think I'm going to give it to a different one just to be different.
Oh, you're going to prevent us from having a Strange Tales Queen sweep this week?
I think so. I think I'm going to go with my heart. I have four that were... I have more than four that were four stars, but I have four-star comics that I really enjoyed, all of them, that I'm stuck between. That Strange Tales, one of them. I'm going to go with Daredevil number 7, because that was a really fun issue to read. That was just a fun comic to read. That's why it's getting it this time. And, I mean, this will probably be the only time Daredevil gets anywhere near the best list for a long time, so...
At least until Frank Miller.
Yeah, so... I'm going to give the devil its due here and give Daredevil the best. It was... So my four were the Strange Tales, that Daredevil I actually picked. Then there was X-Men 12, the Juggernaut issue, which I didn't even have on my list until you reminded me that it was in here. And then the other one was my second option to not choose Strange Tales was the Child of the Gods issue of Thor, because I really enjoyed that one too.
You know, that's fair. And I think this really shows that we hit a turning point in the order. Because the first half of this list is just dire.
Yeah.
And then the second half is all average to good.
Yeah.
I'd argue that even the average 3 stars have taken a bump in that second half. I don't think some of the stuff I was given last month, 3 stars, would still get 3 stars from me.
It's literally like they got to 1965 and were like, let's start making good comics.
Yeah, it's like reading these synopses doesn't convey how much of a difference.
Especially today's synopses were not good.
Yeah, because they were written by someone that didn't really know how to write. I feel comfortable saying that because some of those sentences made neither grammatical nor phonetic sense.
They didn't. I'm glad that you struggled as much as I did. See me?
I legit, and I had read the comic, couldn't figure out what one of the sentences about taking Harris Hobbs through time meant.
Oh, fuck. Fuck Harris Hobbs. On that note, let's get out of here for this week.
Yeah, well, before we already went spoil over we'll upcoming next week. Plot points by complaining more about Harris Hobbs.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a like, subscribe, comment, even share if you would like to. We're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're on Spotify, click that poll and let us know.
And let us know why Harris Hobbs is best boy.
Yes. That or why why you love Vietnam stories. No. But anyways, we'll see y'all next week, and peace out.
Have a good one, everyone.